So we are holding on half on the days by the mission. So the Perek has been talking about the question, what you do with tmuros and vlados of various types of korbanos. We started with what happens with the vlad or the tmura of a shlomin. Then we talked about an ola, and we talked about a bachata, we talked about a toida, and now comes an osham. Now, of course, an osham, like an ola, is always a male animal, so there's no such thing as a vlad of an osham, but there can be a tmura of an osham. And then that tmura, in turn, can be a female animal, so it can have a vlad. So that's what we need to talk about. So the Mishnah says, tmuras osham, vlad tmura. Well, you're not allowed to. But if you change male to female, or whatever, yes, it's chal, it takes effect. So, yeah. Okay, so like this, you have then the tmura of an osham, or vlad tmura, or you have the baby of this tmura, because the tmura could have been a female animal. Or the baby of that baby, and so forth, until the end of the world. What you have to do is, because they have the transferred kedusha of an asham, because the tmura itself gains to a certain extent the kedusha of an asham, even though you can't bring it itself as an asham, and the same thing with the babies of it. You have to leave them to graze until they develop a mum. Then you sell them, and then the money goes to the nedava, which we've learned before, is one of the boxes in the Beis Mikdash. There's one of the boxes in the Beis Mikdash where the value of it goes, the money of it goes to buy oilus for the tzibur, for chayit ha-mizbeach. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yomusu, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says that this tmura and vlad tmura and so forth is Yomusu. No, so there's no exchange, you just believe it to die. Rashi later on in the Sugya talks about that Rabbi Eliezer would talk about that there's a gzeira drabanan because lifnei kapara versus la'acha kapara. Earlier though, in earlier Sugyas in our Perek and in other places, Rashi understands that it's actually according to Rabbi Eliezer based on a pasuk kachatas ka'oshem, that the oshem has to a large extent the same dinim as the chatas, just like a chatas has, just like a chatas is mesa, as we learned in the previous Perek, so also an oshem. So what does he mean? So how do we reconcile? How do we reconcile those? One possibility is that the pasuk would teach us that they're not good as a korban, and then the gzeira d'rabbanan would tell us specifically that you're mussar.
So the Torah would
take a chatas ka'asham, meaning that there's a limitation on what you can do with it. But the actual what you would actually do with it, this that was saying Yamusu according to him would be only Dirabon. And I think that's the answer they give. There may be a different answer as well if I can find it real quick then. Why not? Dirabon are able to be machmir over Daraisa. If the Torah had said Yamus, the Chachamim can't countermand that and say that it shouldn't be. But yeah. Okay, so actually, I take that back. The explanation is that later on when the Gemara talks about that it's based on Gzeira D'Rabbanan, that might be relative to the Machlokes, which we're going to discuss in our Mishnah and in the Gemara. If we say that the money of it goes for an Ola, does it go for an Ola of a Yachid versus a Tzibur? But then we would distinguish there between Lifnei Kapara and Lacha Kapara, and we'd make a Gzeira of one versus the other. Whereas if we say that it doesn't, whereas Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in our Mishnah would be, as is always consistent, that Yomus based on a Daraisa, not based on a Gzeira Drabon. Okay. Anyway, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Now in the Mishnah we have Rabbi Eliezer and then we have Rabbi Eliezer again. But all of the Mephoshim over here say that it should rather be Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Lazar are two different tanoi. So Rabbi Eliezer, we just said Rabbi Eliezer, so now it has to be Rabbi Lazar. Yobi b'dameha oilus. No, what you do is you don't. It's not your musu. You use the money of it to buy oilus. In other words, it has to a certain extent for shadaguf in the sense that you have to wait till it develops a mum and only then can you sell it. But the money is going to go for an oilus rather than you. Osham continues the mission. Osham shemesu bailov. What happens now? We talked about now in the previous parak. We had five possible psulim that could happen with a chatas, and all of them are relevant to osham as well. Because we had vlad, we had tmura, we had niskapur bailov, we had mesu bailov, and we had ovrashnasa. So For now, let's talk about the next two. Oshem Shemesu Bailov Shekipru Bailov, and Oshem, where the owner died before he was able to bring the carbon, or where he had his kapara with a different animal. So this is where someone got lost, and then this one got lost, and then he brought a different one, and then this one turned up. So also, Yiruad Shistavu, you leave them to graze until they develop a loom. V'yimachru, then you sell them. V'yipulu Dama V'nadaba, and the value of them goes to Nadaba. Again, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yamusu, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yavi B'demeir Ola, and again, Rabbi Eliezer says you have to leave them to die because Kachapa Ka'osham, and Rabbi Eliezer says that you use the value of them to buy an Ola. Now, the Tanakama had also said that it's good that you'd use it for an Ola because he said Nadava, and Nadava goes to Ola. So the question is, V'haloi af Nadava Ola hi? After all, an Ola itself, is in Nadava. So it's not really a question. Rashi says dimichusa, like the Mishnah is stating a fact. The fact of the matter is that
Do you mind if we do that later because we're having a shoot? I don't want to read chemicals.
Whatever. Yes. As long as you leave us be, then I guess fine. Okay. Okay. So v'haloi af nedava oila. Now the fact of the matter is nedava also goes for an oila. No, meaning in other words that the nedava, you have six nedava boxes in six nedava pushkas in the Beis Hamikdash, and all of them go for oilas. There's a reason why you have six. There's a Gemara in Menachos that discusses what the reason is. I think also in Baba Kama that discusses why you have six. Is it because there are six bate of? Is it because there are six different cases where the money goes to the boxes? Whatever it is, the point is they do all go for oilas. So what's the practical difference between what the Chachamim say, which is that it goes for Nedava, and Rabbi Lazar, who says that it goes for oilas? Ella, no. What the difference is like this. Is it an oila of Yochid or of the Tzibur? Bizman shehi ba oila, if we say that the value of it is used for an oila of the Yochid, then it's treated like any other oila of the Yochid. So mechaleh, the owner does smicha on it, like with any other oila, or maybe nesachim, he has to bring nesachim together with it, or nesachecha mishaloi, and the nesachim have to come out of his own funds, he can't ask the tzibur to provide it. And furthermore, im hoya kohen, if the owner of this osham, which he made a tzmura for, or mesu bailov, or kipru bailov, or whatever, if he himself is a kohen, avoidas of oila shaloi, the avoida and the skin of this oila are his. Meaning, in other words, we have a concept which we learned in Bava Kama that even though you have 24 mishmaris and each mishmar is on duty for 1 week, nevertheless, though, if a kohen has a korban of his own that he wants to or needs to bring, then he can bring it at any time. He can preempt the kohen of that mishmar and bring his own korban. And as usual, now with an oila, the rule always is the skin of the oila goes to the kohenim who were mak with it. So if it was an oila that was done by the Anshe Mishmer, then the Anshe Mishmer are getting the skin. And if it was done by an individual, if it was done by an individual kohen who doesn't belong to the current Mishmer, then he gets the skin. So that's according to the Chachamim. That's according to Rabbi Lazar. What would happen with this oila that came from that came originally from the koyach of an Asher? As opposed to if it's Manashi Nedava, where it's a Chachamim, who takes the view that the money goes to Nedava, then it's a korban of the Tzibur. So the original owner of the Osham is not doing Smichanik, it's not his korban. The Eine may be Aleh Nesachim, he personally doesn't bring Nesachim for it. Now Nesachim do have to be brought, because it is an Ola, but on Sacheo Michel Tzibur, then Nesachim comes from the Tzibur, like any other korban Ola of the Tzibur. And
when you say Nedava, we mean the money to buy the
Tzibur. What we mean is that, again, you have this person, for example, designated an animal for an Osham. Later on, he made a Tzmura with it. Now the question is, what's happening with that Tzmura, or the Vlad Tzmura, or what's happening if Mesu Bailov or Kipru Bailov or whatever. In all those cases, we're saying that the animal now has the Kedusha of an Ola. However, you're not bringing the animal itself. You're using the money of it to buy an animal for an Ola. So the question is it an Olas Yachid or an Olas Tzibur? According to Rabbi Lazar, it's an Olas Yachid. And according to the Chacham, it's an Olas Tzibur. The money for it goes into one of the six Nedava boxes. And eventually, they use the money in those Nedava boxes to buy Olas for the Tzibur for Kayas and Mizbeach, for times when there's no Korbanos being brought. So that the Mizbeach is not idle.
So that's why it's an Olas
Tzibur. And even if the original owner of the Oshem himself was a Kohen, he doesn't get to bring that carbon because not his private carbon. The Avodah and the skin goes to the Anshe Mishma because they're responsible. They bring all the carbonus that are being brought that week. That's the deal. How the Mishmaris are divided up. So all the carbonus that are being brought that week pertain to them. They're the ones who get to do the avodah. They're the ones who get to keep the skin of the oilus. So you have an exception for a private person's carbon, but this is, according to the Chachamim, this isn't a private person's carbon. It's a carbon of the tzibur. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Now, we have twice in our Mishnah, we have this three-way machloikus of the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Lala. The Chachamim saying it goes to Nedava. Rabbi Lazar basically agreeing it goes to Oilo, just saying that it goes to Oilos Yachid rather than Oilos Tibur, and Rabbi Eliezer saying Yamusu. So the question is, why would he need the Machloikas twice? So the Gemara says it's Tzricha. We need the Machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in both places. The Iyashmi'in and Osham, because if we were only told in the case of the Osham itself, namely we're Kitru Bailov, where the owner lost the original animal of the Osham and then brought a different one as a carbon, and now the original one turned up, you would say, Bahokam, Rabbi Eliezer Yamusu. You know why Rabbi Eliezer would say in that case, Yamusu, that you have to leave it to die, because Mishum de Gozo, La'acha Kapara, also Lifne Kapara, because he makes it Zera, because if you're allowed to use the money of it for an Ola, you may make a mistake and do the same thing, Lifne Kapara. You may make a mistake and do the same thing. Suppose the original animal turned up before the Osham was brought, and that's no good, because until the Osham is brought, this animal has the Kedusha of an Osham. The original animal has the Kedusha of an Osham. You can't redirect it to an Ola. So therefore, we could say that therefore, Rabbi Eliezer in that case would say Yomosu. Avo gabit tmuras Osham, vlad tmuras.
Yomosu for the tmura?
Well, that's the question. Maybe he would only say that by the second case of the Mishnah, we're Kipru Baila. Right, because even though it's after the Kapara when the animal was found, nevertheless he would make a Zera and say Yomusu because we might confuse it with the Kapara. And Rabbi Eliezer might say, again, he might say that the comparison, Kachatat Tashon, is primarily Lifnei Kapara. And the Chachamim would extend it to La'acha Kapara as well. But when it comes to a Tmura, or the baby of the Tmura, where there's no issue of that, there's no kodim kapara and lach kapara, because either way the value of it has to go to an oila. Therefore, aim a moidulahu l'rabbanan. Maybe he would agree with the rabbanan that you can do that. So therefore, we have to be told that no, he would still say yomus. That's the reason for the repeat. The Iyashmin and Hasam, on the other hand, if we only had the machlokas in the case of a tmura, you'd say baha ka'amri rabbanan. Only there did the rabbanan say that you use the money of it for an oila. But maybe by an Osham they would agree with Rabbi Eliezer, because again, you have a problem of Lifnei Kapara versus La'acha Kapara. And therefore we need both Machlokas in to clarify that he holds the same way in both, that Rabbi Eliezer holds the same way in both cases, and the Chacham holds the same way.
According to Rashi?
This is Rashi saying this, yeah. Yeah. Tosfos has a different discussion about Tosfos points out that we know that the tmura of the Osham itself is not brought as an Osham. So that point of Tosfos is later on the Gemara. It's not on this part of it. Okay. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bagul, Machloitas La'acha Kapara. This machloikas actually between this machloikas of whether you leave it to graze until it develops a mum or tomos or whatever, that would only be if it's la'acha kapara. Ava lifne kapara, but if you found the original animal before the kapara, so you lost the original one, you designated a second one, now the first one turned up, both of them are available. Divrei hakol hu atma yifra moshem. Then says Rav Nachman that everybody would agree that the animal itself is brought as an osham. You made a tmura, you made a tmura, then you have the vlad of the tmura. Now what happened is, after you did that, let's assume that that vlad itself is the type of animal that could be brought as an osham. It's a male and it's the appropriate age bracket or whatever. So suppose now the original animal gets lost, so therefore, and you haven't brought your osham yet, then everybody would agree that you could use that vlad tmura itself as the osham.
So you made a
tmura of an osham. Then that tmura had the tmura, let's say, was a female animal, and now it had a baby. So that baby is itself a male and is capable of being brought as an osham. But here's where Tosfos points out why would we say if the mother itself can't be brought as an osham because the tmura of an osham was never brought as an osham? Why should the baby be in any stronger position? So Tosfos says, because maybe we could say, maybe he holds that, in fact, you know what, actually the tmura of an osham, fine, it's a female, you can't bring it itself as an osham, but when would we say that tmura as osham is not brought as an osham? Only when the tmura itself could be brought as an osham. Here the tmura itself can't be brought as an osham anyway, because it's a female. So therefore he would say that yes, in a way the baby is stronger. Had the tmura itself been a male, fine, then you would have zeros like cost of that you don't bring it as an osham, but that wouldn't extend necessarily to the baby.
So that zera only applies to.
So it's not
male.
A zera.
I mean,
no, the zera sakasa would apply to the original tmura if it's a male. Yeah. Amar Rabba, shtei tshuvos b'davar. However, Rabba says I have two refutations to that point. Number one, chada de'enon miskapa b'davar abav avera. Number one, you can't have a person have a kapara with something that came about through an avera. And after all, making a tmura is an avera. He was over on lo yachifenu v'lo yomer oisei. So it's one thing when it comes to the tmura of an oilo or shlomim, Rashi says, okay, the fact is an oilo or shlomim don't come with kapara. An oilo could come with kapara to a certain extent, but it is basically a neder and a davar for the most part. A shlomim is the same thing. As opposed to an osham is specifically coming for kapara for one or another avera, you can't be using for your kapara something that you came about that got its kedusha through an avera. And this tmura, this vlad tmura came. Just the very fact of making a tmura itself is an avera. But oid, and also hatoni rab hanani of a suyuri l'rab yeshur ben levi, also. We had before, not Rav Hanani, Rav Chia, before in the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis, we had Rav Chia, and that's what Agoy Tabach changes it to over here as well. So Rav Chia taught a braisa, was to Yui Rav Yeshur ben Levi, to support Rav Yeshur ben Levi. We had before, we had a machloikas about when Rav Shimon had talked about the opinions of Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether Vlad Tmura is brought as a korban or not. And we had Rabbi Yeshur ben Levi's understanding that Vlad is never brought because you already can see that he's trying to raise herds and herds of such animals. And we had Rabbi Chia brought a braisa of a siyui to Rabbi Yeshur ben Levi to support Rabbi Yeshur ben Levi. De'ama Vlad Rishon Karev, Vlad Sheni and Karev. He said that only the first Vlad can be brought as a korban, the second one is not. Over here, what you have is the tmura itself is in effect a vlad. It wasn't born biologically to the original animal, but its kedusha is a result of the first one's kedusha. So in that sense, it's considered a vlad. Its baby would be a vlad, and instead everybody agrees that's not brought to the carbon. So what are you telling me that you could bring it itself to the notion? Ella yitmar hochi yitmar. You're right. If it was said, this is what was said. We had it backwards. Amar of Nachman, Amar of Avagor, machlokas kodim kapara. No, the machloikas about whether the baby itself is used for, whether the value of it is used for nedavah or yomos or whatever is only kodim kapara. So again, you have, let's say, you made the tmura, you have a vlad of the tmura, you lost the original animal, now you have the baby, so you have the machloikas, what do you do with it? Do you wait, do you use its value for an ola, or is it tomos? Avala acha kapara, but if it's after kapara, who achne karav ola? Then that baby itself, assuming it's a male, will itself be brought as an oiler. You don't have to leave it to graze until it develops a mum. Automatically, any moiser osham, anything left over that couldn't have been brought as an osham, and it automatically becomes an ola. Okay, yeah, we learned before it has to be nitzach la'ola, but whatever. The point is, there's a concept that it transforms from an osham to a potential ola. So over here, that's what happens. Therefore, it's la'achar kapara. You already brought the original animal as an osham. Therefore, this is vlad. There's no question of having to leave it until it develops a mum, and then you use the money to buy an ola. You can use it itself for an ola. Because that's how it is. If you have, for example, let's say the classic case of, let's say, for example, the classic case of Niskapur Bala Ba'akar. You had, forget about a tumura, for example, you had an animal for an asham, it got lost, so you designated another one, brought it as an asham, then the original one turns up. The halacha is that the original one, the value of it is supposed to be used for an oila. We've learned before, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, is it that Midaraisa has to actually be left to develop a mum and then you use the value of it for an ola, or if Benatam learns that on Daraisa level, you could actually bring it itself as an ola, and it's only Midraban. I mean, they can say that you shouldn't. But it transforms into, in other words, in somewhat the same way as there's a relationship between Pesach and Shlamim, which we've learned before, that a Pesach out of season becomes a Shlamim, in a somewhat similar way, an Osham out of season, so to speak, becomes an ola.
It's only
An asham, right? Okay. So again, the question is: V'hakanei Rav Chananya l'siri l'Rav Yishur ben Levi. But what about Rav Chananya's or Rav Chiya's braita that supports Rav Yishur ben Levi, where he said that vlad sheni eni kariv? And again, over here, the vlad tmura is in effect the vlad sheni. So why are we bringing it as an ola? Okay, the most kasha. Okay, the kasha. It's not a solid refutation, but it is a kasha.
So what do we do with
that? So that's it. It means, in other words, it's not a solid refutation. We can still accept the halacha, and that's how the Rambam does, that the baby itself of the tumura can be brought as an ola. Okay, we have a kasha. Okay. A kasha never killed anybody, did they? All right. And there are actually svarim. There's a sefer, I don't remember who the author is, maybe Reuven Margolius, I don't remember, called Koshus Miyushav, which goes systematically through all the places where the Gemara ends off with Kasha and finds an answer. The usual rule is Kasha means we have a question, but there is maybe some way of answering it, just the Gemara didn't bother to elaborate. As opposed to Siyuvta, it's not really like Tefu, but whatever. It's an unresolved question that doesn't necessarily contradict what we said. A resolution can be found. As opposed to Siyuvta means that's it, there's no possible refutation, and we stop there. Okay. Fine. Bominir of Avin Barchia mir of Avin Barchanan. Suppose a person designated a female animal as an Asham. There's no such thing as a female animal for an Asham. An Asham is always a male. Mahu sheyikrav la'ola. It doesn't matter by mistake. On purpose, it doesn't really matter. Would the baby of that female animal be brought as an ola? So would the baby of that animal be brought as an ola? Or would we say that you have to leave that baby till it develops a mum, and then you would sell it and use the money for an ola? So the Gemara asked the Tifshit Lemid Rabbi Yosef of Chanina, why can't we answer the question based on what Rabbi Yosef of Chanina said? Da'ama, Moedir of Eliezer, where we said before that we said earlier in the parak that Rabbi Yosef of Chanina had said that Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar agrees in the case of a female that was designated as an asham. We said over there that even Rabbi Lazar would agree that loikar of asham, because the name asham can never attach to a female animal. It's one thing when it comes to an ola. We said the name ola can fall on a female, because after all, it does in the case of a female bird, so therefore we can, by extension, we can say even a female animal designated as an ola has, to a certain extent, the kedusha of an ola, and therefore Rabbi Lazar would say the baby of it can itself be brought as an ola, but an asham is not like that, because there's never such a thing as a female asham. So why don't we answer based on that? The answer is lo shmiyale. Okay, Rabbi Avin Bar Chiya hadn't heard of what Rabbi Yosef of Chanina had said. So the question is, assuming that we didn't know what Rabbi Yosef of Chanina says, my, so what would be the din? Amalei b'na korev oila. So Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana tells him, yes, the baby of that animal could be brought as an oila. So the question is, hi, mai. He asks, what kind of a comparison is that? Why would we say that? Ad kan l'ka'omer Rabbi Lazar ela makush nekeva l'oila. You know, Rabbi Lazar had only said in an earlier Mishnah and the Gemara on it, that he had said when you designate a female as an oila, where you could say that the baby itself has that can have that kedusha of oila transferred to it on the grounds that the ikashem oila alima, because after all, again, the name oila can attach to the mother, because there is such a thing as a female oila of birds. But when it comes to an Oshem, where there's no name of an Ola on the mother, then we would say even Rabbi Elazar agrees that you can't bring the baby as an Ola. So what are you telling me that you can? In other words, even though he hadn't heard of what Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina says, he hit on that point independently. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina had said that the difference is an Ola, the name applies to the mother, and an Oshem does not. So Rabbi Avin Bachia hit on that point independently. So why would we say that Rabbi Elazar holds? Why would we say that in that case the baby is brought as an Ola? Amalei, so Rabbi Avin Bachia answers him, you're misunderstanding what Rabbi Elazar's reason. Rabbi Elazar's reason is not based on the idea because the name of an Ola is able to go on the mother. No, the reason is just because, after all, the baby in that case is suitable to be brought as that type of korban, because a male animal can be an Ola. Okay, so over here also, the baby is able to be brought as an Ola. So therefore, there's no reason to reject it as an Ola. Mishum b'chazi l'akrava, because it's suitable to be brought as a korban. In other words, the whole point was, in on Yud Chesam and Beis, when we were discussing this point, we made the point over there, and Rava had made a similar point, that it all depends on whether the mother is able to have this name. And if she's able to have the name Ola, then fine, the kedusha of Ola can transfer to the baby, but if the mother is not able even to have that name, such as an Asham, or for that matter, if she never did have that name, as in an animal was designated an Asham, where it never had the designation Ola, then the designation Ola can't go on the baby. Now Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana is telling us that's not what Rabbi Elazar holds. Rabbi Elazar actually just told you, look at, can the animal be brought as an Ola? A male can be brought as an Ola. Good, bring it as an Ola. Okay. Eighth base, sort of
here, but a male or a female?
No, and a female can't be brought as an Ola. So if we designated a female animal as an Asham, well, no, there's no such thing as an Ola, yes, but when it comes to an Asham, there's no such thing as an Asham of a brook.
Yeah.
Right, that's why we're saying, so if we say it's because the name Ola is able to go on the mother, because it does happen by good, then we would say that's what, only in the case of an Ola, would we say that the baby is brought as an Ola, as opposed to by an Asham, we would not, that is because the name Asham can't be on the mother, and for that matter, the name Ola never was on the mother, because the mother was called Asham, not Ola. But over here, Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana is telling us that no, it's just based on the practicalities. Is this animal the type that can be brought as this korban? It's a male animal, it can be brought as an Ola, therefore bring it as an Ola, it doesn't matter what the mother was called. But Rabbi Avin Bar Chia says, I have a contradiction from the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Vladon at Sof Kol Olam, we said that the Tmura of an Asham, or the baby of the Tmura, or the baby of the baby, etc., Ad Sof Kol Olam, Yavi B'dmehen Ola, you have to use the value of them to bring an Ola, implying B'dmehen Ein Asmoloi, implying you can only use their value, you can't use the animal itself, even, let's say, in other words, that the Vlad of the Tmura is a male. The answer is Hachav Ma'asin, can she yield in the Keva? Okay, but we're talking about where the original animal gave birth to a female animal. So again, a female animal can't be brought as an Ola. Therefore, of necessity, you have to use the value of it for an Ola.
It's a female.
Okay, so the question is, Ad Sofa Olam La Ola Tchad Zachar. Okay, but the Mishnah uses the expression Ad Sofa Olam. So fine, you have the original Tmura was a female, let's say, and it gave birth to a female. Eventually, as the generations go by, Ad Sofa Olam, at some point, a male is going to be born in this line. And once it's a male, you should be able to bring it as an Asham. And yet the Mishnah seems to be saying, not an Asham, as an Ola. And yet the Mishnah is saying, you always have to sell it and use the value for an Ola. The answer is Amar Lei, so Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana answers him, Mishanina Shinuyad Chiki Bavloi. I will give you the kind of forced answer that the Bavliim do. In other words, he's saying, I know the answer I'm going to give you is going to sound odd because it's a very funny way of understanding the case of the Mishnah. And in fact, Rashi explains that he knew of a different possible answer, which we'll talk about in a second. What that other possible answer is. But I'll give you a forced answer, the way that the Bavliim do. Shield in the cave. If that's for Olam, fine. The Mishnah is talking about a case where, for generation after generation, until Ad Sof Kol Olam, it was only giving birth to females. You're right. In other words, he says, if there were a case where eventually, if the baby of the baby of the baby, etc., gave birth to a male, then you would bring it as an Ola. But as long as it's female, then that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you just sell it. Now, what's the other possible answer that he could use? So Shitamukumeta says that the well, yeah, because if he's saying that I'm going to give you the kind of forced answer that Babu Yambu, Rashi says, that implies he knew of a better answer, but he said if you really ask me, if you really want to know, then I can just give you a forced answer. So Shitamukumeta explains that we could distinguish between Lifne Kapara and La'acha Kapara. That Lifne Kapara, if you didn't yet bring the original animal as an Asham, then in both cases, whether the baby is a male or female, then the money goes to Oilus. Because, again, like we said before, because we make a Zera, Lifne Kapara, Otu Lacha Kapara, or Lacha Kapara, Otu Lifne Kapara, whatever. Lifne Kapara, definitely, you have to, because you still have a Purusha of an Asham around over here, and you can't transform it into an Oilus yet. The original Asham hasn't been brought. Lacha Kapara, then we would Lacha Kapara, then we could say that, then we could say the male itself is brought as an Oilus and a female would go in the dog.
So Lacha Kapara would mean once?
Lacha Kapara would mean once the original animal was brought as an Asham. Mishnah says, Tmuras HaBachor V'Hamais, so the Tmura of the next type of korban we need to talk about is Bachor and Meiser. So the Tmura of Bachor and Meiser, Vladon or Vlad Vladon, or the baby of that Tmura, again, the Bachor itself has to be a male, the Meiser itself could be a male or a female. So Vladon would mean the Vlad of the Tmura of a Bachor, or the Vlad of the Meiser itself or of its Tmura. Or Vlad Vladen and Sofa Olam, Harelaka Bechor Meister, they have the same din as the Bechor and Meister themselves, not that you bring them as a korban, but in the sense that you have to treat them like the meat of Bechor and Meister, but you're also a mum and labailim, so therefore you wait till they develop a mum, and then the owner can shech them and eat them. Ma ben Bechor and Meister ben Kalakotchim, so what are the practical differences between Bechor and Meister versus the other Kodshim, between other Psoli Amokdoshim when it comes to shechting them and eating them, between Bechor and Meister on the one hand, and all other Psoli Amokdoshim on the other hand. So the difference is, as we learned in Bechor, Shekalakotchim, Nimkirin, Be'itliz, Minishchotin, Be'itliz, all other Kodshim, all other Psoli Amokdoshim, you can sell the meat in a butcher shop, you can shech them in the butcher shop. When you're shkolin belitua, you're allowed to weigh them the normal way with weights on a balanced scale. Chutz min ha-bechor v'ha-meister, except for bechor and meister. And we learned in Bechoris, the reason for it is, Rashi brings it over here, because with all other psulei amakdoshin, the value of them goes to hekdesh. So we want to drive up the value in order that hekdesh will benefit. If we allow the meat to be weighed and sold normally, then that'll increase the price. People will be more willing to pay more for this animal because they as opposed to bechor and meister, the value of them goes to the owner himself. So therefore, we have no benefit to hekdesh. So therefore, we want to treat it. It's not going to increase anything for hekdesh. So therefore, we want to have that the meat should be treated as respectfully as possible, not just like ordinary common meat. Also, the yeshlehen pidyon v'lutmeres same pidyon.
Isn't that the reason is that they have kedusha? They have more kedusha than simple kashrut.
No, it's not so much that they have more kedusha. All Psulei HaMakdashin have certain rules. All Psulei HaMakdashin, for example, you can't, even after you pay to them, you can never work with them, you can never shear them, their milk is also, et cetera, et cetera. But Bechor and Meiser, on top of that, you have this rule about the meat itself. Once you do shecht it, has to be treated differently than ordinary meat. And the reason for that, again, is because of this matter of who is the benefit, who is the extra value going to. Is it going to hekdesh or is it going to the owner? Bechor and Meiser goes to the owner, and everything else goes out. Okay. Another difference, the Yeshlehen Pidyon, which we're going to say in Pidyon, another difference is that with all other Kodshim, that you can be poed to them when they develop a mom, and their Tmura you can also be poed to. Chutz min HaBechor V'HaMeiser, except for Bechor and Meiser, where you can't be poed to them. And another difference of Borin Mechutz La'aret, Chutz min HaBechor V'HaMeiser, another distinction is that other kinds of Korbanos, if you designated the korban in Chutz La'aretz, then you still have to bring it to Eretz Yisrael, bring it to Yerushalayim and be makriv it, except for Bechor and Meiser, where the difference is, she'im bo tmimim, if they're brought from Chutz La'aretz and they're tmimim, yikrivu, then you do bring them as a korban. In other words, you don't have to, l'chatzchila, but if you did, then you are makriv with them. And we'll see in the Gemara there's a machlokes on that point. The imbali mumin, and if the imbali mumin, you ochlo the mumin labailim, then you just the owner shechs the meat.
So if they have
So a person has an animal in chutzpah, a female animal in chutzpah that gave birth to a bechor, or he gave ma'aser behemah in chutzpah, then he doesn't machatchila bring the bechor or ma'aser to Eretz Yisrael. Machatchila, he just leaves them till they develop a womb, and then he shechts and eats them. Or in the case of the bechor, okay, he gives it to a kohen, and the kohen shechts and eats it, whatever. But in the case of, and if they brought him from chutzpah, then you are machatchila them. Amr of Shimon, so Reb Shimon says, here's a reason to make that distinction. Ma'atam, what's the reason for that distinction? Because after all, the Bechor and the Meister, there is a way of making them available for use where they are. You wait until they develop a mum, and then you shech them and eat them. As opposed to all other Kodshim. Well, in other words, the point is, in other words, that in the case of Bechor and Meister, ultimately, what happens with Bechor and Meister? As we said, the value of them goes to the owner himself. So there's not, when the Bechor and the Meister themselves develop a mum, nothing is ever going to happen with that money in terms of a korban. So Yeshlan Panosu B'Mekayman, in other words, the entire future history of that animal can take place in Chutzlar. There's nothing involving it that's going to ever come to the Beis Mikdash. As opposed to all other korbanos from chutzlaret, even if they develop a mum, the fact is they still have their kedusha. You are going to have to be poured to them, but it's not just that you're going to have to be poured to them. Ultimately, you're going to have to be makriv the value that you were poured to them for.
So the chermas there, you poured to them,
and then that's it. You keep the money.
And you keep the money.
Yeah.
You cannot give it away.
You can do whatever you want with it, but you're not obligated to use it for a korban. As opposed to, for example, you had an ola, a shlomim, a chata that developed a mum, then you have to use the money. It doesn't matter kodshim kalim. Kur and maisu are two types of kodshim kalim, but other types of kodshim kalim, for example, a shlomim, you still have. Once you pay to them, the money itself has to go for another shlomim. The Gemara starts off. Amar Rava Bar Rav Aza. So Rava Bar Rav Aza says, or Shittim Kabbasis changes it to Rav Acha Bar Rav Azia. Ba'an B'mar Rava. They ask the following question in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Hamato mum b'tmuras b'chor or ma'aser ma'u. What happens if a person makes a mum in the tmura of a b'chor or ma'aser? Now, if a person makes a mum in Kodshim, usually they get malchus. And the same would be true of the tmura of most korbanos, because most korbanos you bring the tmura as a korban. No, it's not even an inner outside Eretz Yisrael. The question is, mi aminan kiven de lekriven lemechayev? Do we say since you anyway not be makriv the tmura of the bechor or the meiser, unlike the tmuras of many other korbanos, which we've learned in our perek, you do bring them as that the tmura of an oyla is brought as an oyla, the tmura of a shlomim is brought as a shlomim, the tmura of an asham is brought as an oyla, etc. So therefore, so as opposed to bechor and meiser. So they themselves, or nothing of them, is brought as a korban. Therefore, loy mechayev. So maybe therefore he should not be chayev. Therefore, he should not be chayev malchus for it. For making the mumin. Usually, there's an issur in the Torah when the Torah says kol mum lo yiyah boy. There should not be any mum in any animal that you bring as a korban. We darshan that the word yiyah is also maloshin yachayev. Kol mum lo yachayev boy. You should not bring it about that there should be any mum in the animal of a korban. So usually, a person does that, he's chayev malchus. So the question is, would that apply to Tmura, Bechor, and Maisa? So on the one hand, you're not bringing them or anything of them as a korban, so maybe not. Or you're given to Kodshu Mechayev, or maybe not. The fact is, they have Kedusha, and you do have to wait till they develop a mum, and therefore maybe you should be Chayev for making a mum in them. Amalei Abai.
So the question is, since you don't bring them, maybe you could say not Chayev.
But on the other hand, the fact is, they have Kedusha. So Abaye says, why are you dabka asking about the case of a tmura of Bechor Meiser? You could just as well ask the question about the ninth animal when it comes to Meiser Behemah. As we learned at the end of Bechoras, if you mistakenly call the ninth animal number 10, then it has a degree of Kedusha, also like the tmura of Bechor Meiser, in the sense that you have to wait till it develops a mum, and only then can you shecht and eat it. So you should have the same question over there. Ella, so no. But you would ask the question. But you could ask the question in that case. Ella, my shnapshid lekama boyalach. So why is it when it comes to the ninth one, you're not asking the question? Obviously, it must be the rachmona mate because the Torah gives us a miut. Asiri lahoitziachi. When the Torah tells us how asiri yakodesh, implying but not the ninth one. The ninth one does not have that level of pressure. Well, then the same thing. Well, therefore, when it comes to Temura also, when it comes to Temura of Bechor and Maisu as well, the Torah says you shouldn't redeem them. They are Kodesh, implying Haim is a mute. Haim Kraven, Vein Temuras and Kraven. Only the original animal itself is brought to the carbon. It's sort of like a Hekesh, yeah. Not really a Hekesh per se, but not really a Hekesh, but he's saying the same kind of limud. That Asiri is a mirror. It's just the same kind of limud. Maybe it's a mamasino or something, whatever. So you say Haim Kraven, Vein Temurasim Kraven. So the same thing. Obviously, it means they themselves are brought as a carbon. The Temura of them is not. And therefore, so then, obviously, so in both cases, you're not high for making a moment. Okay. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Masni Lahachri. Rav Nachman Yitzchok learned that the discussion went the other way around. It started Omer of Acha Brej Rav Aza, Bo'an B'mar Rava. They asked the following question in Eretz Yisrael. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchok's version, it's the same basic discussion, but they started out the other way around. They started by asking the question, Hamato Mum B'chi Shal Maisu Mahu. If a person were to make a mum on the ninth animal of Maisu, which was mistakenly called tenth, what would be the din? He chayav Malkus or not? Amalei, so he, Abaya, says to him, why instead are you not asking a question about the Temura of Bechor and Meiser? So why is it Deloy Mebayalach? Why is it when it comes to Temura of Bechor and Meiser, you're not asking a question? Obviously, it must be the Rachmana Matinu, because we have a Miut in the Pasuk, that we said Kodesh Haim, that the word Kodesh Haim means Haim Kraven, Vein Temurasim Kraven. They are brought as a carbon, their Temura is not. And therefore, that means also you're not Chayav Malkus for making a woman them. Hachinami, a Chi Shamaiser Nami, Rachmana Mate. So the same thing. When it comes to the ninth one of Meister, also the Torah is Mamaya Tarsiri, Lahoitia Tachi. So ultimately, it comes out that in neither of those cases is a person Chayav Malkus. Not in the case of Temura and of Bechor and Meister, and not in the case of, and not in the case of Chi Shamaiser. In neither case would a person get Malkus for making a woman.
But it's another error.
Maybe he's over on a lav, maybe not. But anyway, he's not high.
He doesn't get
malchus because it itself is not being brought as a carbon. The concept of matzah mumba kodshim is only when it or something from it is capable of being brought as a carbon, and here it's not.
Okay.
No. We're talking about after the fact. He called the chi asiri, and now it has the din. And you have to wait till it develops a more. Now, if later on he's about to make a mumen, and then they warn him, don't make that mumen. He's going to be chayav malchus. Is he chayav malchus? Okay. Fine. Then the Mishnah had said, v'im bo tmimim kola. We said that if the bechor ma'aser are brought as a tamim from chutz la'aretz, then you are mak with them, even though the hachila you don't have to. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. The last Mishnah, of Masech Chava says Ben Antignus Hela Bechoris Mibavel. Ben Antignus, that was the name of the person, brought up animals Bechoris from Babel, Veloy Kibbu Mimenu, and the Chachamim, the Kohenim, didn't accept it from him to bring as a carbon because it came from Chutzlar. So what are you telling me if they're brought as a Talmim, you bring them?
Maybe just Babel?
Yeah, what's the difference? Babel is like any place else in Chutzlar. There wouldn't be a difference between Babel and any place else. Amar of Chista, like Kasha, Harabi Shmuel, Harabi Akiva. No contradiction, because one Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the other one is and the other one is according to Rabbi Akiva. One second. Detanya, as we learn in Abraisa, Rabbi Yosi Omer Gimel Dvarim Mishum Gimel Skenim. Rabbi Yosi said three dinim in the name, each one in the name of one of three Skenim. Number one was Rabbi Shmuel Omer. You would think that a person is obligated to bring Maaser Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim even nowadays when there's no Beis Hamikdash. So you would answer, of course not. But Dinhu, of course, I can prove logically that you shouldn't. Bechor Ton Havas Mokum, because after all, a Bechor Behema, you have to bring to Yerushalayim and bring as a carbon. Or Maaser Ton Havas Mokum, and Maaser Sheni, you're supposed to do the same thing. Well, obviously, there's a comparison. Ma Bechor and Enechel El B'Pnei Abayis. So just like a Bechor, you only bring it to your shalayim and bring it as a korban and eat it only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, obviously you can't be mak with it. Af Maaser in Enechel El B'Pnei Abayis. So the same thing should be true of Maaser Sheni by Mamatinu. However, the Braita continues, Rabbi Shmuel continues, Loi. No, it's not necessarily a valid comparison. Im amarta b'bechor, you can say by a bechor. You know why you don't bring it when there's no Beis Hamikdash? Because it requires the Beis Hamikdash. Shekain ton matan dam ve'emurim l'gabim mizbeach. The fact of the matter is, you have to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. You have to burn the emurim on the mizbeach before you can eat it, and you don't have a mizbeach, so you don't have a Beis Hamikdash. There's nothing to do. Toimer b'meister d'loi. So how can you compare with Meister? You don't need to do that. Meister Sheni, all you need to do is bring it to your Shalayim. There's nothing. You don't do anything with it that necessarily involves the Beis Hamikdash. So why should maybe Meister Sheni? We're talking about that. Yeah. We're not Meister Behemoth. We're going to deal with later, right?
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, that's important.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Amarta, so you answer, okay, I'll give you a different way to prove that Meister Sheni shouldn't need to be brought to your Shalayim. Bikurim to unen avos makom, or Meister to unen avos makom. Let's make another comparison. Another thing that needs to be brought to your Shalayim is Bikurim. Have to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash, and Meister needs to be brought to your Shalayim. Ma Bikurim en necholon el b'snabai, so you would say then, therefore there's a comparison. Just like Bikurim are eaten only when there's a Beis Hamikdash, ask Meister. At Meister and an Echel and Elab Nebai. So the same way for Meister, Meister Sheni, we don't have to be brought in.
What is it called, this comparison?
It's called a Mamasinu.
So he exchanges one Mamasinu for another one.
Yes, exactly. He's saying you can't learn from Bechor, because Bechor has your course. You have Avodah Sinit that needs to be done on the Mizbeach. But Bechorim, there's no Avodah that are done with it. However, however, how can you compare? Bikurim, you have to put down in front of Mizbeach. The Inachtoi, Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Alekecha, the Pasuk says. Toimer b'maiser d'loy. Again, how you think to compare to Meiser, where all you need to do is bring it to your Shalayim. There's no involvement of the Beis Hamikdash at all. So neither one of our Mamasinus works. Therefore, we need an actual Pasuk, says Rabbi Shmuel, to tell us that you don't have to bring Meiser Sheni to your Shalayim after the Churban. And what is it? Talmud Loma, Be'ochalta Lifnei Hashem Alekecha, Masa Degon Chavetzirosh Chavetzarecha, Uvechoris Bekor Chavetzenecha. We have a hekesh in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says you should eat before Hashem Alekecha, in meaning in Yerushalayim, the Meiser of your grain and wine and oil, Uvechoris Bekor Chavetzenecha, and the Bechoris of your cattle and your sheep. So we have a hekesh, Makesh, a hekesh Meiser, the Bechor. So we have a hekesh between Meiser and Bechor. So it's not just a mamatzinu, like we said before, which would slog up. This is a hekesh, which is stronger. Therefore, ma b'chor, and
it's
in the same pasuk. So therefore, ma b'chor. Because the mamatzinu, we slogged up the mamatzinu, because we said.
No, I understand, but why don't you call it a mamatzinu?
Because not. Mamatzinu means that we find something that mamatzinu is another word for it is binyan av. We find that the Torah tells us a particular din by one mitzvah, and we apply it to similar mitzvahs, to mitzvahs that have
even
a similar.
Even if they're not in the same pasuk.
Right. That's a, right.
Here,
but here it's in the same pasuk.
So it's a hekesh.
Right. Therefore, so ma'am b'chor in a nechal el snabai. So just like a b'chor is eaten only when there's a Beis Hamikdash, af meiser in a nechal el snabai. So the same way meiser. Okay. And by the way, I mean this is all a side thing. We haven't even gotten into the matter of b'choris from chutzlaret yet. That we're going to deal with on Amud Beis. We're bringing the whole thing that Rabbi Yossi is saying. Three dinim, each one of them. Right, this is all. The main thing, we're going to bring something from Rabbi Akiva. But first, we're bringing each of the three dinim that Rabbi Yossi learned from one of the three kings. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Ben Azzai.
This is Rabbi Shmuel.
Then we're going to bring what Rabbi Yossi says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, a different unrelated din, and then something from Ben Azzai. Okay. So the question is, okay, we said you can't do a mamatzinu from Bechor because Bechor you have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. We said you can't do a mamatzinu from Bikurim because you have to put them down in the Azara. But each one has a feature the other one doesn't. The Lehadur Dina Velaytzi B'Me'asad. Why don't we do a Sada Shava? Bechor has to have its blood sprinkled, but Bikurim do not. Bikurim have to be put down in the Azara, but Bechor is not. Hatsada Shava Shabam, that you bring them only when the Mizbeach is standing.
Each one has something that everyone doesn't.
Yeah.
So
why don't we work like that? Yeah. Right. The answer is Amar Avashi Mishum De Ikol Meimar, because even if you tried to do a Ma'atzad, you could slug it up. Ma'atzad Ashav Shaban, because after all, Bechor and Bikurim do have this in common. Shekein Yeshban Sad Mizbeach. After all, there's something with them that involves the Mizbeach. Fine, it's not exactly the same thing. One is Matan Damim Ve'emurim, and the other one is putting it down on the floor. But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is both of them somehow involve the Mizbeach, as opposed to Ma'atzad doesn't. So
it's not really the Mizbeach, it's the Lifnei.
Okay, but it says, the Pasuk says, Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Alekecha. So therefore, those are the Mizbeach is involved somehow.
As a part, you put them in front of the Mizbeach?
Right.
Which part of the Mizbeach?
No, you put it on the, if I remember correctly, you put it on the floor next to the Mizbeach, or whatever.
Which side?
I don't remember, but Stama on the south side, because that's the side the Israelim go to, but whatever. The point is that I don't remember that particular detail, but whatever. The point is, it involves the Mizbeach somehow, as opposed to Ma'aseh Sheni. It doesn't involve the Mizbeach at all. All you do is you bring it within, as soon as you're within the gates of Yerushalayim, you can immediately start eating it.
The Ma'aseh Sheni, you buy an animal?
No, Ma'aseh Sheni, well, typically, a lot of times, what a person would do, the Torah tells us that if a person has Ma'aseh Sheni and they can't bring the food itself to Yerushalayim because it will spoil or because there's too much of it to carry or whatever, so then you exchange it for money, you bring the money. Typically, what a person would, you spend the money on food in Yerushalayim, very often a person would use the money to buy an animal for a shlamim, and that's a valid way of spending it, and therefore you have, for example, a mishnah. Yeah, and then you'd offer the shlamim and you eat it. And then with the dinner, Ma'aseh Sheni. So therefore, for example, you have a Mishnah in Shkalim that mentions that if you find money in front of the cattle dealers in Yerushalayim throughout the year, then you have to assume it has the kedusha of Ma'aseh Sheni, because probably a person, because many people who go to buy animals in Yerushalayim for korbanos would be using Ma'aseh Sheni money for the purpose. But whatever, the point is you could, in principle, buy almost any kind of food with it. But yeah.
Okay. The greater mitzvah, though, to buy an animal.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a greater mitzvah, but I mean, yeah.
You could do both.
You could, yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the question is, on Rabbi Shmuel's shita, that Rabbi Shmuel is saying it's a given that Bechor is not eaten when there's no Beis HaMikdash, that you don't bring it to Yerushalayim when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but Ma'aseh Sheni were asking about, and we needed to use a Hekesh to learn it. So the question is, Ma'aseh Sheni, what does Rabbi Shmuel hold on the question of whether the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash still exists after the Korban? If he holds that the original kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash still persists even after the Korban, well then, then shouldn't the Bechor or the Meister have to be brought? In other words, if the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash still exists even after the Korban, so you could bring the Bechor and you could be mad with it. So why would he be taken as a given that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then you don't bring the Bechor anymore?
So one says it does remain.
Yeah, and the other one says it's not, which is relevant. The Rambam brings it in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. For example, it's relevant to the question. The Rambam and the Raivad disagree in the end. There's no psak on it anywhere in the Gemara. So you have a machlokas of the Rambam and the Raivad, who the halacha is like, where, for example,
no,
the Rambam says that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash still persists.
Yeah.
The Rambam writes, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, no. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael expired with the Churban, and now it's only Midrabah. Therefore, the mitzvahs of Chorus Ba'aretz are relevant only to Rabbanon, are applicable only to Rabbanon, as opposed to the Beis Mikdash, where he says that, for example, the Isser to go into any place of the Harabais that you're not allowed to would still be Daraisa. As opposed to the Raivad disagrees and says that one also would be at most to Rabbanon.
So the Kedushas of Harabais would be Rabbanon?
According to the Raivad, yeah. According to the Raivad, on a Daraisa level, you would.
My thing is probably because the Kedusha is still there and it's going to Daraisa.
Yeah, okay, fine. All right. Yeah,
I mean,
we don't pass in halacha based on whether they're fighting there or not.
No, I'm not saying we pass in halacha like this, but
okay,
as evidence.
I don't know. Anyway, the point is that if Rabbi Shmuel holds that the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash still exists nowadays, still exists even after the Korban, then the Bechor also should have to be brought, and he would be makruv with it. Tosis points out the fact that you need a mizbeach to sprinkle the blood on. Okay, so you would build a mizbeach and sprinkle it. You would still be obligated to, maybe.
According to the Rambam, you should build a mizbeach?
According to the Rambam, the kedusha still exists nowadays. If there's a possibility of building the mizbeach, then maybe you should. Then you should, yeah. There's been a huge amount of discussion on the basis of this. For example, famously, in the year 5017, 1257 CE, so 700 odd years ago, famously, Rabbi Chiel of Paris moved to Eretz Yisrael because there were Xeris against the Gemara and whatever in France and whatever, and he wanted to be marked with a Korban Pesach. And the other Chachamim of that time discussed it with him and said that and argued with him partly on the basis of the Raivad, partly on the basis of other considerations, and talked him out of it. And since then, at Ba'adah Yemazeh, you have different Chachamim who have taken the view at different times that we should try to be marked with Korbanos. I've mentioned also that in the first few years after the Six-Day War, the Rebbe used to tell people to stay outside of the old city on Erev Pesach, because if they're in the old city, they might be required to bring a Korban Pesach. And they were
going to be held that you, like the Rambam?
So apparently they're held like the Rambam, right? Or at least that there's the possibility that the halacha is like the Rambam. Within a few years after that, eventually, by the mid-1970s, the political situation was such that there was no possibility even of building the Mizbeach there and bringing the Korbanos, and then they'd have to stop telling people that they need to. Okay. There's a huge amount of discussion about that, but first of all, Tumah D'chuyah B'Tzibur, in particular when it comes to the Korban Pesach, but yeah, there's a huge amount of discussion, and lots of ink has been spilled on the question about the practicalities. We don't have Korban Miyachasim, we don't have Big Dikor, now there's a lot of discussion that's gone on about it, but in principle, if we say Kedushah D'Shayna Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Asid Lavei, then as long as those practical obstacles can be overcome, then yes, we would be required to build a Mizbeach and bring a Korban Pesach in. So that's what the Gemara is asking over here. If Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash still exists, then why is it a given that you don't have to bring the Bechor nowadays? You should have to bring it. So Loishna Bechor and Loishna Maisir B'nei Havaninu. So there's no difference. Both Bechor and Maisir you'd have to bring to the Beis Hamikdash, to Yerushalayim. V'ikasav HaKedusha D'Shayna Kitchel Shaita V'loi Kitchel Asid Lavei. If he holds that the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash expired on a Daraisa level with the Churban, well then, I'll be able to...
Means
further on. Right? Then I feel Bechor Nami Tibarilah. So then he should be asking about Bechor as well. If he's asking about Meister, he could just as well be asking about Bechor. So why is he taking it as a given that Bechor after the Churban you don't, and Meister Shane is questioning? The answer is La'olam Kesava Kedusha D'Shayna Kitchel Shaita V'Lo Kitchel Asid Lavei. We will say he does in fact hold that the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash does not continue to exist after the Churban. Then why is he taking it as a given that a Bechor you don't bring, and Meister Shane is asking? V'Hocha Meiskin, because we can be talking about a case like this. Suppose you brought a Bechor to the Beis Hamikdash before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. You sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach. Bechorev Abayis, then the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by dying B'Sorei Kayim. And now the meat of this Bechor is still... What do you mean it's impossible?
You brought the Bechor,
they sprinkled the blood. Right then the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And then the meat is still in existence. And you have 2 days to eat it. So given the Iisir Ladam Loibazrikahu, so we would say like this. Since if the blood still existed now after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and we would say as soon as the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, then it has no more Kedusha on a Daraisa level, therefore we would say the blood cannot be sprinkled. Ossi, Bosser, Yalif Midam, therefore...
The Tarek was Shechti, the blood had Kedusha.
What we're saying, right, let's look at the situation right now. Right now, the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, and therefore, if the blood still were in existence right now, if it had not been sprinkled yet, then you wouldn't be able to sprinkle it now.
Right.
So therefore, Osi Boso Yalef Midam, so he will say, therefore, you learn the meat from the blood, just like the blood couldn't be sprinkled now, therefore the meat can't be there. But Osi Maisa, Yalef from Bechor, and then in turn, he learns Maisa Sheni from Bechor based on the Hekish. So in other words, since you have a case of Bechor where you obviously don't eat it, because he says you can't eat it in this case, therefore it becomes a mitzvah.
That comes after the question why he had not that question?
No, the question was, why did he take it as a given that the Bechor can't be eaten, is not brought to Yerushalayim, and Mitzvah Sheni he was questioning, and the answer is because we're talking about a case where he knows for a fact that the Bechor is not going to be eaten, namely it was already brought, but you hadn't eaten the meat yet. So therefore, he's asking about Maaser Sheni, and he says that yes, we compare it by the Hekesh to Bechor. So the question is, Mi Afin and Kodesh Ma'adadi? How are you learning a Hekesh from a Hekesh? We're learning Boser from Dam, and then we're learning Maaser from Boser. Right, but Amar Rabbi Yechonin Bechol. No, it's our Hekesh from a Hekesh. Right, but Amar Rabbi Yechonin Bechol HaTorda Kolo L'Medin Lomin Min Alamed. Throughout the rest of the Torah, we can learn something from something else, and then learn something else from that, and continue with the whole chain. Chutz Min HaKodshim She'in L'Medin Lomin Min Alamed. Except by Kodshim, you can't learn a Hekesh from a Hekesh. So how can we make a double Hekesh over here? Boser to Dam, and then Maaser Sheni to Boser. The answer is Maaser Chulin. The answer is Maaser Sheni is Chulin. So you're not learning a Lomin Min Alamin. It's completely within Kodshim. Okay, the question is, Hanuchal Amanda Alam Basa Lomin is learning. Okay. But we had a machlokas in Zvachim, in the whole sugya about Lomid Min Alamid, whether we say that you go according to the Lomid, the thing that you're trying to learn to, then we would say, okay, Maisesheni is what you're trying to learn to. That's the destination of the second Hekdesh. Good, that's not Kodshim anymore. Therefore, Bechor is Kodshim, Maiser is not. So therefore, that's fine.
If you're
learning within Kodshim, from Dam to Basar, then you can learn a second one from Kodshim to outside Kodshim. If you say that, then good. El Olamanda Amma Basar Malamed is learning, but according to the opinion over there that you go according to the source is Bechor, the source is the Basar of the Bechor. So then, then what are you going to say? The answer is, the answer is the blood and the meat are considered essentially the same thing. They're both parts of the same carbon, therefore it's not really lamed mina lamed. You're saying, in other words, that you're saying they're both in the same category. The blood and the meat, in other words, they're both parts of the same carbon. They're both parts of the same carbon, and therefore whatever applies to one automatically applies to the other. It's not even a matter of a hekdesh.
You
don't even need a hekdesh, right?
Right. It should be in the same animal. It could apply to a different animal.
No, well, we're not talking about a different animal. We're talking about within the same one. So they're within the same carbon. Yeah. Okay. So that was all the din that Rabbi Yossi had quoted from Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Akiva, and then he said, here's the din he learned from Rabbi Akiva. Yochol yala adam b'chor mechutz la'aretz was mancha b'esim mechdesh kayem v'yakri v'anu. This is why it's relevant. Because we said, our Mishnah says that l'chila you do not bring a b'chor or ma'aseh from chutz la'aretz to be makrivit. Only b'dievet, if you did, then you're makrivit. So Rabbi Akiva had said, yochol, you would think, yala adam b'chor mechutz la'aretz, that a person should bring the b'chor from when the business is standing, and then be mocked with it. No, therefore the person is, a again, we have the same hekdesh that Rabbi Shmuel had used to say that the Pasuk mentions you should eat before Hashem Alekecha the meister of your grain and wine and oil and the bechoris of your cattle and sheep. Meaning, he says, the hekdesh teaches us, mimokam shatam mala master dogan atam mala bechoris. Only from the places where on the Daraisa level you bring Meiser of grain and wine and oil, only from there do you bring Bechurs. Or in Malcolm Shi'i at the Mala Meiser Dogon, as opposed to outside Eretz Yisrael, on a Daraisa level you're not bringing Meiser Dogon. Therefore, I at the Mala Bechurs, you're not bringing Bechurs from there.
Because it's in the same
place. Right. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, so the Mishnah at the end of Chala is going according to Rabbi Akiva. When it says that Ben Antigonus brought his Bechor from Chutzla, that's from Babel, and they didn't want to be makriv with it, that was according to Rabbi Akiva. Whereas our Mishnah goes from this passage, whereas our Mishnah that says, well, clearly you don't have to, but the Yevit, if you did, you are makriv with it, that would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. He also used the pasuk about chalta lufnei Hashem lekecha, but he used it for a different drasha. He used it for this business about that you don't bring ma'aser sheni to your shalayim nowadays.
Right. So where did he take it from that you can from Kisar and bring?
Because if you don't have otherwise, so then you can say that okay. So you're not using the same hekdesh for two different things. Yeah. Okay. Then the third din that Rabbi Yossi learned, Ben Azir, I mean Yochol Mala Af ma'aser sheni v'yechlenu b'chol aroya. You would think that when you bring Ma'aser Sheni to Yerushalayim, maybe you could eat it anywhere. You don't have to eat it dafka within the city of Yerushalayim. Maybe you would think that you could eat it b'chol haroya, anywhere where you can see Yerushalayim from it, which in fact was true when the Mishkan was in Shiloh. No. The point, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, you were able to eat Kodshim anywhere in the areas around Shiloh from which you could see Shiloh, or from which you could see the Mishkan in Shiloh. It's my focus on that, but okay. By the way, okay, as far as your question, as far as Rabbi Shmuel, Tosfos says, since you have the question that you're asking why Rabbi Shmuel would say L'chila versus B'dievet when it comes to the Bechor from the Chutzlaret, okay, so Tosfos says, because you have a pasuk that says Rak Kodeshecha Asher Yulachol Nederecha, that we said Rak is a miut, so therefore we would say that there's a miut that from Chutzlaret you're not obligated to, but if you bring them, then you should be master of them. So you would think that when you bring Ma'aser Sheni, you could eat it anywhere from which you could see your Shalayim. He would argue, of course not. The dinhu, of course, he would say no. You would say a logical inference that not. B'chur ton havas makom, ma'isa ton havas makom. Because both b'chur and ma'isa are similar in that they both need to be brought to Yerushalayim. Ma b'chur en enechal l'snim en ha'elo l'snim en ha'choyma, ach ma'isa en enechal l'snim en ha'choyma. He would say, if b'chur can only be eaten inside the walls of Yerushalayim, ma'isa must be the same way. The problem with that is, again, like Rabbi Shmuel had said, ma'la b'chur sh'ken ton matan jomim ve'emurim l'gavim v'zeach. How do you compare? A b'chur, the blood and the emurim have to be brought on the mizbeach, as opposed to ma'aseh v'na'ah, tamer b'ma'aseh v'loy. Therefore, tamer b'loymah. Therefore, he says that so, and in fact, shitimuk b'betes and agoyis hagdurah bring another point as well that b'chur you have a limitation on who can eat it, only kohenim. You have a limitation how long they can eat it. Ma'aseh, you don't have any of those limitations. So therefore, so we couldn't learn it logically. Therefore, we need a pasuk. Tamad loyma ve'achal to l'fnei Hashem le'tacha mata degon chavisirosh chavitzaracha v'choros kochav etzenacha. So yet again, the same hekish. So Rabbi Shmuel had used it to teach us that you don't bring that after the churban. Rabbi Akiva had used it to teach us that you don't bring a b'chor from chutzlaret. That's why Rabbi Yosi has these three dinim together, because you have three different chachamim who each use this hekish for a different limud, right? So Ben Azay is saying, ma b'chor, makish b'chor, ma'isel b'chor, ma b'chor en enechal al lefnim en achayim, just like a b'chor is eaten only within the walls of Yerushalayim, af ma'isel en enechal lefnim en achayim. Okay. So the question, the third opinion is that we use the hekish to teach us that, according to Ben Azay, that you can't eat ma'isel shen. So the question is, my kashale, so what was Ben Azay thinking? What was the premise of his question? Dekamo yachol amrit, that he says you would think that you could eat it wherever you could see Yerushalayim. What would be a logical reason to think that you could? The reason is, because we learn in a Mishnah in Megillah, ein bein shiloi liYerushalayim, that there was no difference between the Mishnah in Shiloi and the Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim, as far as the dinim. Ela shebeshiloi ochem kodshim kalam ma'isasheni b'chol adroya, except that in Shiloi, when the Mishkan was in Shiloi, they could eat kodshim kalim, b'chur and ma'iser and shlomim and so forth, anywhere from where they could see Shiloi, right? Or Yerushalayim l'fnim and achoyim, but in Yerushalayim you can only eat them inside the wall. So, v'chein kodshik kodshim lefnim en akvoyim, and kodshik kodshim in both places can only be eaten inside the courtyard of the Mishkan, of the Beis Mikdash. So you would argue like this. B'chur is one thing, because after all, the blood has to be brought on the Mizbeah. Therefore, it's logical that you can only eat them in the walls of Yerushalayim, which is where the Beis Mikdash is. But ma'u detaim of Yerushalayim leisi ma'aseh sheni b'chol adroya. So you would think ma'aseh sheni, where there's no blood that goes on the mizbeach at all. Maybe then, after all, you should be able to eat it. Maybe the rule should still apply, like it did in Shiloh, that you could eat b'chol adroya. Kamash malan, and that is why he tells us. That is why we need the limud and the pasuk to tell us that. Not. Otherwise, they can only eat it within the walls. Right? Okay.
And that's why. What?
So that's it. So that's how we know that it's not b'chol adroya. Okay. Then we have a fourth opinion. What we're learning from this brach, what we're learning from the fetish. Achirim, which usually means Rav Meir, says, Yachol yehi b'chur sha'obra shnasek k'tzula ha'mukdashin. You would think that a b'chur, which is over a year old, should be considered like k'tzula ha'mukdashin, because after all, the pasuk says that you're supposed to bring it shana shana, year by year, so you would think if it's over a year old, it's possible to be brought as a korban, re-apostle, and therefore it should be possible. No, tam avayma, therefore we use the fetish for yet a fourth thing. And it continues with the b'chorus. Makish b'chor l'maiser. So we're making a hekish between b'chor and maiser. So all the from this pasuk. Now all the previous ones were doing the hekish in the other direction. From b'chor we learn to maiser. Because each one is using it for a different din. Okay, so each one would say, I learned your din from someplace else. But here, Acherim rather are using the hekish the other way around. From Maiser, we're learning something to Bechor. All the other ones we're learning from Bechor, we know something to Maiser. Here it's the other way around. Ma Maiser and Anif from Mishon al-Chavita, just like Maiser Sheni doesn't become possible if you leave it from one year to another, Af Bechor and Anif from Mishon al-Chavita. So the same thing to Bechor doesn't become.
That's only according to his name.
Well, so the question now is, Ula Rabbanan, according to the other Chachamim,
right,
in the previous three Tanayim, the Maskilu L'Taima Achrita, they all use this pasuk for a different limud. So Mishana L'Chavata Menolahu. So where are they learning this concept that Bechor is not possible if you leave it over a year?
They agree with that.
They agree with that concept, but where do they get it from? The answer is Nachlahu Milifnei Hashem Alakecha Techlan Mishana B'Shana. They say, we learn it from the fact that the pasuk says, before Hashem, you should eat it year by year. which implies year by year, means limit all b'chur she'ari nifsa m'shana l'chabrita. It means from that we learn that the b'chur is not possible from one year to the next. Shana b'shana implies 2 years, year in year. It's a pasuk near the end of Parshas Re'eh. The previous pasuk, it's a different pasuk. The previous pasuk was in the middle of Parshas Re'eh. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, fine, so what is Achirim learning from that pasuk? The answer is, he needs it for what we learn in a braisa like this. How do we know that a b'chur can be eaten for 2 days? Because when the pasuk says shana b'shana, that implies yom echad mishana zuv yom echad mishana acheres. That implies that there's a possibility of eating it one day in this year and one day in the following year. If you were makir the b'chur on erev Rosh Hashanah, then you have one day of this year and one day of the new. You have the erev Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin, at the end of Tavshin Ayin Tes, and Rosh Hashanah at Tavshin Pei, the last day of Tavshin Ayin Tes, and the first day of Rosh Hashanah the following year. Limit. So from that, we learn that a b'chur can be eaten for 2 days and a night in between. So that's what he says. That's what we learn from Shana Shana. Not this concept that it's not nifsal from 1 year to the next. If it's over a year old, that he needs the hedge. Okay, but Rabbanan on the Nechal of Beis Yom Belayla Echabinalu. Fine, where are the Chachamim learning that it's eaten for 2 days and one night? The answer is Amakra Yilachok Kachazei Asnurva. Because you have a different pasuk in Parshas Korach that says that the b'chur shall be to you like the chest of the shlomim that is weighed, and the chaz of a shoy, so shlomim are eaten for two. So what does it mean? On the simple meaning of the pasuk, it's just telling you that the b'chur goes to the kohenim, just like the chaz of a shoy of shlomim. But we also learn the chaz of a shoy so shlomim are eaten for 2 days. Therefore, the b'chur is also eaten for 2 days. Or Rashi brings another explanation that which actually the Gemara discusses this in Zvachim as well. Because it says in the word ye, at the end of Perek Ezra Mekayman and Zvachim, we learned about this, that you have, so if the pasuk said Chazei Atznofa, you could say it means like the Chaz of a Shoik, of a Toida, which is only eaten for one day. But when it says ye, that adds an extra day.
And you read me the Rashi?
They're Rashi of a Chazei Atznofa. Dehainu Chaz of a Shoik, Shalom, Nechol, Mabez, Yom, Balai, Lachon. Lishnachwina, yia, or another explanation is from the word yia, where it says, if some yia loch kachazeyatnufa, demistama haba azlunum mechomer. If it weren't for the word yia, we would say there's two types of chazeyatnufa, the shlomim, which is 2 days, and the toida, which is 1 day. So maybe we should be machnu and go like this toida one. Ramyunim, so we say in Zvachim, kachaz of a sheikh shal toida. Fine, the word kachazeyatnufa means like the chaz of a sheikh of toida, which is only 1 day. Uchtiv yia, but then it adds the word yia, to add another being, meaning another day like it, behind Ubiyah and Beis, that means a second day. So the Gemara discusses over there, actually, you have Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, where Yisaguli, you have a couple of different Tanoim, you discuss over there the exact point, how we know this concept that the Bechor is eaten for 2 days and one night. So again, one possibility is we're learning it from Shana B'Shana, which is what Achirim are doing. And then you have the other opinions are saying that we learn it either, we say that Chazei Atznofa itself automatically means the one of Shlomim, therefore 2 days, or we say, no, it could have meant the one of Toda, but the word Yia means that we compare it rather to Shlomim.
According to Yia, who's opinion is that?
But I don't remember in Zvachim which opinion is which. I guess I can try to find it real quick, although we got to go to Meir. But you have a couple of different opinions over there exactly how we learn it. But the point is that we have two different ways of looking at that pasuk itself. Is it automatically comparing it to the Shlomim, or is it possibly comparing it to Bechor? Is it possibly comparing it to Torah, and only the word Yia is only the word Yia is telling us that we learn it? Yeah. So you have Rabbi Akiva, you have Rabbi Tarfer, and you have Rabbi Yisagli. You have a few different explanations over there. Rabbi Shmuel also, yeah, the whole discussion about it. Okay. Yeah. Bayim Ashlishi Bayishi Sarif is talking about the Shlomim. So the Shlomim we know you can eat for 2 days. That's a given. Therefore, the Chaz of the Shoch Shlomim can also be eaten for 2 days. But a Toga, the Toga tells us, can only be eaten for 1 day. Okay. Hadron Alach Elu Kachim.